This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. So when you woke up this morning, what'd you do first? Did you hop in the shower, check your email, or did you grab a donut from the kitchen counter? Did you brush your teeth before or after you toweled off? Which route did you drive to work? When you got home, did you put on your sneakers and go for a run or a jog, or did you pour yourself a drink and eat dinner in front of the TV? In 1892, the famous psychologist William James wrote, quote, "All our life, so far as it has definite form, is but a mass of habits," unquote. You know, I absolutely love that because it's absolutely true. Most of the choices that we make each and every single day feel like the products of well-considered decision-making, but they're not. They're actually habits. And although each habit means relatively little on its own, over time, the meals that we order, whether we save or spend, how often we exercise, how much money we make, the way we organize our thoughts and work routines have enormous effects on our health, productivity, financial security, and happiness. You know, there was a paper published by a Duke University researcher in 2006 that found that more than 40% of the actions that people perform each day aren't actual decisions, they're habits. So habits, by definition, are choices that we all make deliberately at some point and then stop thinking about but continue doing often every day. At one point, we all consciously decided how much to eat and what to focus on when we got to the office, how often to have a drink or when to go for a jog. But then we stopped making a choice. And the behavior became automatic. It's a natural consequence of our neurology. And by understanding how it happens, you can rebuild those patterns in whichever way you choose. That's the beauty of habits. And in this episode, we're going to talk about how to form better habits or break bad habits. And it was inspired, the specific episode, by a book called The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. If you'd like the full book summary, of course, you can pick that up over at getflashnotes.com. But for now, we're going to focus on some of my favorite big ideas, the highest leverage ones, to help you in your life or your business, at work, your family, whatever it is that you're trying to achieve in life. So specifically, what are we going to talk about in this episode? We're going to talk about, number one, how habits emerge. Number two, what every habit has in common, regardless of whether it's a good one or a bad one. And number three, and probably the biggest one, is a three-step process to creating good habits that stick or breaking bad habits that suck. So let's start by talking about how habits emerge. Now, habits, scientists say, emerge because the brain is constantly looking for ways to save effort. Now, left to its own devices, the brain is going to try to make almost any routine into a habit because habits allow our minds to ramp down more often. And this effort-saving instinct is a humongo advantage. An efficient brain also allows us to stop thinking constantly about basic behaviors like walking and choosing what to eat. So we can devote more mental energy to inventing spears, irrigation systems, technology, eventually airplanes, video games, all that stuff. So in The Power of Habit, Duhigg describes a series of experiments run by researchers at MIT on the science of habit formation. Now, the researchers running these experiments on groups of rats, right? They were dropping them into mazes and making them sniff around for a piece of chocolate that they put at the end of the maze. And they wanted to monitor brain activity in the rats as they moved about the maze, so they inserted these tiny little microsensors inside the rats' brains, right? And this helped the researchers determine which parts of the brain would light up when the rats were running through the maze, which would, of course, the reason why they were doing the experiment was to help them understand how the brain actually forms habits, right? So they start this experiment, and at first it kind of seems like the rats weren't really doing anything interesting at all. They'd start at the beginning of the maze, they'd sniff around a little bit, scratch the walls a little bit, and then randomly pause every now and then before moving through the maze again. But then the researchers found something really, really interesting. Each time the rats moved from one end of the maze to the other, they sniffed around a little bit less, they scratched the walls a little bit less, and they paused a little less, thus moving through the maze faster and faster and faster with each run. Now, after running the rats through the maze several times over, they learned that the mental activity in the rats' brains decreased in the rats with each successful navigation through the maze. And as the route became more and more automatic, the rats were actually thinking less about how to get through the maze. No more sniffing, scratching, and pausing necessary. Now they could speed through the maze from start to finish, hardly without thinking at all, right? No pausing, no scratching, none of that stuff. They would just boom, they'd put them in the maze and then they'd get straight to the end, get the chocolate quickly, right? Without pausing and scratching the walls and sniffing around or any of that stuff. And the researchers found that this automaticity in the rats relied on a part of the brain called the basal ganglia, which took over as the rat ran faster and faster and its brain worked less and less. Now, this part of the brain, the basal ganglia, as they call it, was central to recalling patterns and acting on those patterns. In other words, it's responsible for storing habits even while the rest of the brain falls asleep. In your brain works the same way. This process is called chunking, right? And it plays a primary role in how habits form. With chunking, this process, the brain converts a sequence of actions, right? Like brushing your teeth, tying your shoes, or backing your car into your garage. It turns those sequences of actions into an automatic routine. So the bottom line is that habits emerge because our brains are always on the lookout for efficient ways to save effort. So the question then is, how do we form habits? By using the habit loop. There are three steps to starting or stopping habits of any kind. Here's what Duhigg says in the book. This process within our brains is a three-step loop. First, there's a cue, a trigger that tells your brain to go into automatic mode and which habit to use. Then there's the routine, which can be physical or mental or emotional. And then finally, there's a reward, which helps your brain figure out if this particular loop is worth remembering for the future. Now, if you want to create new habits of any kind, you got to keep the following formula in mind. Cue plus routine plus reward equals new habit. New habits depend on that three-step loop. First, the cue, which is a trigger for your brain that tells it which habit to use. Then there's the routine, right? How a habit influences what you do or think or feel. And then thirdly, there's the reward, which helps us determine how valuable the habit's going to be and whether it's worth remembering or not, right? So now let's talk about how you can actually use this habit loop to develop better habits within your own life. So the keys to creating better habits in your own life lie within finding your cues and defining your rewards, right? So if you want to start running each morning, it's essential that you choose a simple cue, right? Like always lacing up your sneakers before breakfast or leaving your running clothes next to your bed. And a clear reward, like a midday treat, a sense of accomplishment from recording your miles, or that endorphin rush that you get from doing exercise. All right, but countless studies have shown that a cue and a reward on their own aren't enough for new habits to last. Only when your brain starts expecting the reward, craving and anticipating things like endorphins or a sense of accomplishment or whatever treat you're going to give yourself, only at that point when you can get that sense of expectation, that anticipation of your reward, is when it becomes automatic, right? That's when it becomes automatic to lace up your jogging shoes each morning or whatever habit you're trying to form. The cue, in addition to triggering a routine, has also got to, in other words, trigger the craving for a reward to come. So the key to creating habits is based on a simple formula, right? Any one of us can adopt it. Let's say you want to create the habit of working out first thing in the morning. Here's what you do. You begin by choosing a cue, like keeping your gym shoes by the door, and then that cue should trigger the routine that you want to develop. In this case, exercising early in the morning, right? So that gym shoes by the door could be very helpful for you if you're basically still trying to get up, you're still half asleep, and you know you want to exercise, but it could be really easy to convince yourself to fall back asleep and go back to bed and, you know, just curl up and get a few more minutes of sleep or whatever, right? So just putting that simple cue by the door, your shoes, could be the trigger that helps you get up and develop that routine, turn that routine into a habit. So you start by choosing a cue, a simple cue, keep your gym shoes by the door. That cue triggers the routine that you want to develop, exercise early in the morning. Next, you choose a clear reward for yourself. Could be anything. For instance, a smoothie after each workout, right? One that you really like. And then finally, you allow yourself to crave or anticipate that reward by thinking about the smoothie that you'll get to enjoy once you're done crushing it in the gym. Right, that simple addition of a craving could be what makes the difference between whether you get up and hit the gym or hit snooze and bury yourself back under the sheets. Cravings, in other words, drive habits. And the reason behind why habits are so powerful in the first place is because they actually create neurological cravings in your brain. And figuring out what sparks your cravings is what can make creating a habit easier for you. So, think of a habit that you want to create and take out a journal or take out your phone or whatever it is that you can use to record whatever things that you want to do in life or create habits, or just pull out your phone real quick, pull out your notepad and do this exercise if you want to create a new habit in your life. First, you want to think of a new habit that you want to create. Write that habit down. Then, think of your cue. Write that down. And then finally, think of the reward that you're going to give yourself for doing that thing that you want to create, doing that habit, acting on that habit, taking action on it, and write that reward down. So think of the habit you want, think of the cue you're going to use, and think of the reward you're going to give yourself. And then finally, remember to make sure that the reward that you give yourself is something you'll be able to crave or anticipate constantly and continuously in the future as you create this new habit. It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.